live with love, but it's so slashed and torn.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
It is 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon in Coleman, which means it's time for these guys to start thinking about sports. Yeah, it's Sports Talk Live time on Coleman's Live 95. Here are your hosts, Jason Spiegel and Roddy Barnes. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy.
Good afternoon to you, too.
Throw us on the bus, buddy.
Well, you know, you can only talk work so much.
That's exactly.
Got to start talking about
that. Isn't that the truth? Absolutely right.
Wow, beautiful day, Ronnie.
Gorgeous day here in Coleman County and probably the whole state of Alabama.
The only way it could get any better is if we done this show on Friday.
From the beach.
And, of course, it is Friday. Hey, let's do a remote podcast from the beach sometime.
I'm in.
How about you, Tommy?
If you guys need an on-site producer now.
We have to have it because we don't know how to do anything.
I'm your Huckleberry.
All right. Jay, if you listen to this show on demand tonight, let's plan that. I've got the perfect place to set it up.
You sure do.
And we'll do this from Perdido Key,
Alabama.
Perdido Key, Florida.
Right on the coast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
We'll report live down there, have maybe some games, giveaways.
Exactly.
if you can find us, we'll give you something. So
you've already stepped now, so it's in.
On. It's on. It's on big time.
It's on, like Jim Butts. It's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, the number, 256-737-9505. If you want to give us a call, you have until about 4:20 when, at that time, Chris Andrews will be joining us, as he does each Thursday at around 5. Dr. Dan Vosta. I say Dr. Dan, people are going to think I'm talking about Dan Williams here in town. But Dan Vosta, Campus Insider, at 5:30, Rex Chambers. And we'll probably wind up about 5:45, have about 15 minutes then. So, if you want to give us a call, give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Moolah still up for grabs.
Still out there.
Take a guess. You got about 15-20 minutes.
The old spotted cow, she's still out of the pasture.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, Peoples is putting some pressure on us to get her hem back up.
Yeah. They need Moolah because they're going to need Moolah to be at some events here in town before long. So.
And it's our responsibility to find her. So we got to have somebody's help.
Yeah, that's it. All right, Ronnie, we got games tomorrow night on the local scene. You want to catch everybody up on that?
Yeah, high school football, of course, is still going on. We got, I think, 2 more weeks, regular season. So these games are becoming more and more crucial and more important when it comes down to, you know, making those playoff runs and trying to get into the playoffs. Most of the regions, Jason, you know, have got 7 to 8 teams. The vast majority have 8. and they take the top four out of each region. So these games are vitally important to getting into the playoffs. So the games that's going on this week, and we'll just go through them quickly, and then we will give our picks later on in the show, which I know everybody's going to want that.
Oh, but yeah, they got to have it.
That's right. That's right. West Point is playing Lawrence County. Hampsville is playing Susan Moore. Good Hope is playing North Jackson. Fairview's playing Butler. Vimont's playing Winston County. Cold Springs is playing Tarrant. Holly Pond is at Winfield. And Coleman will be playing Muscle Shoals. So those are the games tomorrow night.
All right. And looking on the board here, two great guys.
Absolutely.
Bruce Parker and Heath Parker calling the show. Hey, Bruce. Hey, Heath.
Hey.
How you doing, my main man?
Fine. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Oh, my goodness, Heath.
I'm telling you, hey, Heath, you got runny.
Bruce put him up to that.
Whatever it takes. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, doing good. How about y'all guys?
Doing great. I'm having to put up with runny, but other than that, I'm good. So, Heath, I wouldn't take a wooden nickel for that War Eagle there, so that
what
made my
that?
Day.
Man, I won't sleep a wink tonight, Heath.
So what do y'all have up, Bruce?
Well, I think Heath wanting to take a stab at the guessing where the moolah's at.
Okay. I hope so, because we got to round her back up.
Yeah, the People's Bank's needing Heath.
That's right.
Can you tell us where you think moolah may be?
An egg shop in the high school.
You're right.
And absolutely.
Now, you've already won the money, but let's go a little bit further just to make sure. What school do you think the ag shop we're talking about?
Cold Springs.
You got it, Heath. You got it. You are a
good
$50
deal,
winner, Heath.
Yeah.
You can take that money
right.
And make your daddy or your mama take you to town and buy whatever you want with that $50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations, Heath.
Yeah,
there you go.
Heath, you might could loan that to your daddy and then make him pay you back a lot more than he borrows from you. Because
yeah.
I know he's a teacher. He don't have any money.
That's right.
And it's the end of the month, so I know he doesn't
That's
have any
right.
money.
It's been gone a week or two.
You got that right.
Oh, yeah. And he's just been through a wedding, so not
yeah.
too long
oh,
ago.
Oh, boy, he does
it
need
takes
it.
Takes a long time to get over
that.
All right.
Boy, congratulations. Heath, can we hear War Eagle one more time out of you?
War Eagle.
Oh,
I hear
goodness.
I hear you.
Good job, Heath.
I think he's saying War Eagle, and he's got an Alabama shirt on.
He's got them both covered. That's a smart boy.
All right, guys. We won't hit you anymore, but we appreciate it.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Bruce, I'll get with you on getting the money to you, or you can come by the office one day and pick it up, however you want to handle it, but I'll get with you on it.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Y'all have a good evening.
All right. See you, Bruce.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That is a first time winner. Heath Parker from Cold Springs.
He must have
$50.
That maybe the last clue you gave the other day may have.
Yeah, that had to have put him at Cold Springs. If they knew the ag shop, the smelling the bread.
That's right.
Had to have, because the home ec department and the ag department, for those that don't know, are joining each other at Cold Springs.
Okay.
So. And I remember back when I was in high school sitting in the classroom of the ag shop.
Yeah.
You could smell those cakes, bacon, and bread bacon. It'd be about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
about time for break, oh, so yeah. You're hungry, aren't you?
Oh, man. All right. We have Jeffrey on the line. Jeffrey, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Well, how y'all doing today?
Hey, we're good. We just gave away $50, so we're doing good.
That's me, a day late, dollar short.
That's it. I know the feeling.
I usually tell them about the time they say, hey, you need to pay us $50.
Yeah. I know that feeling, Jeffrey. I'm right there with you, buddy.
So, Jeffrey, what's going on in your part of the world?
Oh, not much. Just riding home and figured I'd call and talk to y'all.
I hear you.
Second best people to talk to, so that's my line.
Yeah. Hey, we beat talking to Fine Bomb.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you, a doctor's visit for one of those 40-year-old-plus exams is a lot better than talking to Fine Bomb.
Oh, man. That's tough right there now.
Well, hey, you know.
I've got to know right now. We talked about it the other day, but I'm not worried about Florida State winning the game. I'm worried about, do they cover the point spread this weekend?
Spread's a 6, last I heard. What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think it's still 6.5.
I'm gonna say yeah.
Okay, good deal. I've already said yes myself. So.
It was 6.5 last week, and I beat them by 20. So if they can just do half that good, they'll still cover the spread. So.
Hey, do you think Bama does? I think last time I saw it, Jason's probably seen it since I have, but it was like 16 or something like that. Bama over Tennessee?
Yeah.
15.5, 16.5, somewhere in that.
You think they'll cover it?
Yeah, I think they'll cover
okay.
it.
Okay. What about Auburn?
Well, it depends now. The bad part about Alabama, they are played at home, and they haven't played that well at home.
That's right.
So,
and they haven't had any time off yet, so they've got to be getting, you know, kind of dead-legged, I would think.
Yeah.
Hey, exactly. Jeffrey, while you're on, I've got to make this announcement, something that Ronnie doesn't even know, but
I know everything.
Station owner Jay Fuller just texted me and said, I think the beach is a great idea. Just let me know when.
Hey,
so, hey, 95.5 Sports Talk Live will be broadcasting
south.
From the beach at
some
point.
Well, how about that?
How about that?
Y'all getting better than everybody, man.
Yes,
you can't hide that Coleman money, can you?
That's it.
Auburn, what's Auburn's spread? Arkansas's favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, 5.5.
Auburn's favorite?
No, Arkansas. Favorite by 5.5.
I mean, Arkansas's favorite 5.5. I think Auburn will win that game.
I hope you're right.
I agree with you, Jeffrey. I think Auburn beats Arkansas.
I don't know. I've been wrong like a lot of people with Auburn so far this year, so hopefully I'm not this time.
Exactly. Hey, there's a bunch of jobs open, you know, around the country right now. Actually, I think there's 4 or 5 across the country that's open. But, you know, the closest one here is of course, South Carolina. Any idea, you know, what you think, who you think may get the job?
I think who they should get. Now, who they should get and who they actually get. Two different things, but I can't think of the guy's name that coached for Houston.
Oh,
used to be the offensive coordinator at Ohio State.
Herman, Tom Herman.
Yeah. South Carolina got to look a lot better than Houston job, doesn't it?
I would agree. I've heard his name mentioned. I've heard Chad Morris, who is at SMU, who was the offensive coordinator at Clemson for Dabo. I've heard his name thrown around some.
He'd be a good one. I can't say his name. It's weird kind of name. That's the coach Memphis big.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get anybody from a decent school. I don't think South Carolina, because I believe Jason said it yesterday, South Carolina's still South Carolina.
That's right. Yeah. I don't think you're going to get an established or a big name, you know, to come to South Carolina. I don't think you will, but you know, maybe they'll offer up enough money to get somebody.
Enough money will turn heads, and I don't know how much it would take.
You know,
that being said, I think this is Stoops' last year at Kentucky.
You think so?
I think he's done a good enough job with Kentucky that he can get one of these other 4 or 5 different schools, and I think he would leave.
And, Jeffrey, that was my pick for the South Carolina job. Probably will never happen. They may be looking for a bigger name than that, but I think it would fit right in.
I don't think he would leave Kentucky for South Carolina because, in all honesty, I know Kentucky's a basketball school, but I think he could do just as much, if not more, at Kentucky than he could at South Carolina. I mean, why don't we go right back into rebuilding?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right. But if I'm looking at it, I'd rather be the coach of South Carolina than Kentucky. At Kentucky, you're always going to be second fiddle. No matter what happens, you're second fiddle. South Carolina... not so much.
I tell you, somebody else would do a good job for that South Carolina if you went for the coordinator way, and that'd be Jeremy Pruitt.
I have heard his name tossed around some too. I sure have, Jeffrey. And yeah, I think in time, I think he's going to get an opportunity somewhere down the road.
I hated losing the defensive coordinator at Florida State.
Yeah,
I think he messed up personally by going to Georgia. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, were there because he was only there 1 year. But were there some issues there?
Rumors was, you know how rumors are?
Oh, sure.
Rumors was he was chasing a couple little co-eds around.
Oh, okay.
But it's all rumors. I mean,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, rumors had it that Kiffin was going to be gone.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Maybe rumors will start that Saban's going to be gone. No.
You can only hope.
Hey, if we're going to start the rumor, let's go ahead and start a good one. They said Gus and Saban was going to swap jobs at the end of the year.
Oh,
boy, that would be interesting.
I mean, if we're going to start rumors, let's have some good ones, right?
That would be a good one right there.
You know, the sad thing, Jeffrey, and I hate to talk this way about Auburn fans because I am one, but there are fans crazy enough that they wouldn't take Nick Saban, wouldn't be happy with Nick Saban at Auburn because he came from Alabama.
That's right.
You're very right about that. My thing is, I'm not a big Saban fan. I didn't like him when he was at Michigan State. I didn't like him when he was LSU. And everybody says,
I really don't like him
with
Alabama.
Like him when he was at Dolphins either, so we know it's not that big reason. But you can't deny the fact the man knows how to coach.
Oh, no doubt about it.
No, the man knows how to build a program. The man knows how to win games. You can't beat that.
No. You look back at...
I'll lose y'all again.
Yeah, okay. You know, you talk about... You look back at his entire career, other than the stop in Miami. Nobody can really match him. We probably lost Jeffrey, but... we're talking about Nick Saban and what he's done through the years. You know, a lot of schools, Jason, they can get to the top, but they're not able to maintain it year after year after year.
Auburn, prime example.
You're right. You said it, I didn't. Auburn's a prime example. They got to the top of the mountain in 2010, won a national championship, and what has happened to them,
They went from the mountain down into the strip.
Way down into the valley, didn't they? And you see that a lot. You do see that with a lot of college football teams, or pro or whatever. But if you look at Saban's body of work, I mean, he's been able to either stay on top or near the top ever since he's been at Alabama, other than the first year.
Yeah, you know you're doing a pretty good job when the thought is out that you may lose two or three games and there's people ready to fire
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I mean, how many people would love to only lose two or three games? And he does it year after year after year.
Jeffrey, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back. Well, I got to say something, Jason. You got a tough job. I mean, I just start talking about Alabama and Saban, Coach hangs up on me.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, Jeffrey, we got about a minute before we have to go and get ready for our guest. So what are you going to be doing other than watching Florida State this weekend? What game has your interest?
Is there anything else to do besides watch Florida State? I'll be trying to catch all the games, all I can anyway.
I hear you.
Other than that, watch a little Talladega Sunday and go to church and try to make myself a better man.
Now, Vimont's got Winston County, right?
Yes, I believe it's at home, too.
Yeah, I believe that's right. I don't really know that much about Winston County, but I think they've won a few games, I'll put it that way.
It joins Coleman County.
Yeah, it sure does. Over on the west side.
Yeah. That's not all I know about him. I go through there on the way to Hamilton to deer hunt. That's about all I know.
I hear you, Jeffrey.
Well, y'all have a good one.
Jeffrey,
all right, Jeff.
Calling.
Thanks for calling, bud.
All right, man, we'll see y'all.
See ya.
Oh, yeah, look, how about this?
Tommy's back.
This right here is a classic, man.
Who is it?
I don't know if it's Feel Like Making Love, but...
That's a strange name. That's, I know who that is.
I don't know. Let's go to a break and think about it.
Okay, yeah, you guys think about
it. Think about who's singing the song.
Take us to break, Jason.
All right, stay with us. Coming up, we have... Chris Andrews. Boy, my mind is sidetracked now. Chris Andrews from Reno, Nevada. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive. And you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
All right. Is that hard to handle? Hey, speaking of hard to handle.
That's it.
Our man with a plan, Chris Andrews, joins us. Chris, hard to handle out in Reno, Las Vegas area. So, Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Oh, it's easy to handle. What are you talking about, buddy?
Chris, how did the weekend treat you?
Yeah, college wasn't great. I had a real good week in the NFL, though. I bet against your boys, Jason, and they played a pretty decent game. I'm sure we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But they cost me a little. I had A&M, too. That wasn't, so I got a bone to pick with Ronnie.
You'd have a big one to pick.
I'm not a real popular guy right now, so I don't know.
I can't blame you for betting against Auburn. I've done it. I didn't do it this game, thankfully. I did go Auburn's way just because it was Kentucky, but a blind squirrel, as we say in Alabama, finds an acre and every now and then. So.
Okay.
All right, right out of the gate, let's talk about Auburn, Chris. They get the win over Kentucky last week. Give us your thoughts on Auburn and the quarterback situation. Do you think Auburn has now found its quarterback in Sean White?
Well, let's talk about Sean White first. So I think right now, I think they kind of have to do that. I think they, I'm not sure, because if you look through all his numbers, they're not great. They're not terrible, but they're sure not great. But right now, it looks like he's getting a little bit better. You know, the San Jose game, I don't really think told us all that much. That first start, who was that first start against?
The first start
I can't remember. Mississippi State.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, like, very, I think, acceptable for him to not be great. But then this last game, I mean, I know he didn't have any touchdowns, but he really played, I thought, very well. I'm looking at the stats right now. 9.4 yards per attempt. And that's always a big thing for me. I want to see, is a guy trying to throw the ball downfield at least a little bit rather than just throwing a lot of screen passes. But I thought he played well. He played very well within himself. I think at this point in time, the kid came out of high school with some really high credentials. I think they got to stick with him. And I think that he'll probably be okay. I don't want to pretend I'm a scout or anything. I'm not. But I think right now, if Malzahn has the faith in him and he's produced as well as he has so far, I think it's a done deal. I think they got to commit to him. The other thing I want to say about Auburn, you know, I was looking at some things today. And, you know, this team's 4-2. Yeah. So it's not like it's been a disaster. You know, and I have a couple things that I do numbers-wise that I like to track, and I like to keep track of how efficient a team is. And a lot of that goes back to coaching. And Auburn right now, even though their numbers are not great, they're actually pretty efficient considering what they're producing. And I think, again, I've spoken very highly of Malzahn, and I'm going to continue to do so. I think the guy is really an excellent coach. I think he had probably a little bit more of a challenge in front of him this year than many of us thought, because I thought that Auburn really would be a lot better. But I think he's done very well with what he's been given. And I'm going to say the same thing about Will Muschamp, because I know he's gotten a little heat down in Auburn, too. A lot of guys I was reading this week that thought that maybe bringing Muschamp in was a mistake. I would disagree there vehemently, because I think that defense, you know, that's had some injuries, and that was really one of the things. I was looking about Arkansas this week, and as I did my research, I couldn't do it. I'm passing on the game. I'm not playing Auburn. But I was surprised at how efficient, really, they were on offense and defense. And listen, you guys have been football fans for a long time, I'm sure. There's a lot that goes into just coaching that is, I mean, it's hard to put your finger on sometimes, but the successful coaches continue to be successful. Bad coaches, well, they get fired pretty quick, so we don't have them to beat up for too long. But some guys are successful and have to be in the right position. I would say that about Muschamp. He maybe was not the perfect guy to be a head coach, but I do think he's an excellent guy to be a defensive assistant. And like I said, you look at this team, they're 4-2. There's a lot of football left in front of them, and I don't know what you're paying these guys. I imagine it's pretty good. I say, you know what, boys? Time to start earning your money. Let's see if we can, it's not impossible. I'm looking now. They got Arkansas. Okay, they're a 6-point dog. You know, okay. Mississippi's had a lot of injuries lately. Then they play at A&M. Listen, you aren't getting any breaks in the SEC. Then you play Georgia, Idaho, then you finish up with Alabama. I mean, I don't know how many wins you can get out of those games, but I'm sure if I'm a player or if I'm a coach, I'm looking at every one of those. Hey, let's take them one at a time, and right now let's go try to beat Arkansas, and then we're 5-2, and, you know, we're sitting pretty decent.
All right. I think Arkansas, a very winnable game, and you may laugh at me on this one, but I'm telling Ronnie Tuesday that I think the Georgia game is a very winnable game. I think Georgia may be the only team that was hyped up or overhyped as much as Auburn.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. I've lowered them quite a bit in my rankings. Shanahan is the offensive coordinator, I think, over there. And, boy, I tell you, now, he deserves to get some heat, I would say, from what I've seen far out of that outfit.
Yeah.
So, he might be a one-and-done as far as a coach goes. But, I wouldn't, if I was an Auburn fan, I really wouldn't look at this and just say, okay, we can't win this game, we can't win that game. You know, I think you can win almost every game left on your schedule. Like, it's not going to be easy to win at A&M. It's not going to be easy to beat Mississippi, no matter where you play them. And, of course, you're a 6-point dog this week, too. But I think that's a very winnable game. Like I said, I was looking up at Arkansas, but the more I looked into it, I was just saying, it's either Auburn or pass for me. There's no way I was going to play Arkansas.
Hey, Chris, let's talk about Alabama just a little bit now. Of course, they go into Texas A&M. They pretty much dominate them. Two things. One, give us your thoughts of the Alabama football team. And do you know of a game that there or the last game where there's been three picks that's been ran back for touchdowns?
Yeah, I was in Las Vegas over last weekend, and I was staying at the South Point or a bunch of guys there were just watching the game, and we just started saying, I mean, so there was two pick sixes, and we had A&M. There was a few of us at A&M. I said, geez, we got two pick sixes. Yeah, we got a shot to cover this game. This is unbelievable. Well, here you go. He throws a third. And then I tell you, we were all talking. I can't remember three. I'm sure they would have mentioned it if it was the first time in history.
Right.
But I sure don't remember four, that's for sure. But, you know, we still had a chance to win that game. Now, I would say this about Alabama. It's not all just a fluke that they got three pick sixes. You know, is there luck involved? Yeah, obviously, no question about it. But also, that's Bama's game, is playing that great defense. And they force quarterbacks into making poor decisions. They rattle them in the pocket. They probably rattle a few wide receivers into making some mistakes, well, you know, fearing to get hit later on in the game. And, yeah, it was pretty lucky for Bama, but it was also not all luck. There's a lot of talent. We talk about coaching. Certainly a lot of coaching goes into their defense and making them what they are today, and recruiting the right guys to play that defense too.
Absolutely. I think their defensive backs have improved dramatically from the beginning of the season. Of course, everybody knows, you know, their front seven is probably, without question, the best in the country. So, you know, any decent play out of their secondary, and boy, they're going to be really hard to handle, and that's kind of what's taking place, which leads me to my next question, Chris. You know, offensively, part of the two most explosive teams out there is Baylor and probably TCU. Alabama arguably has the best defense. If Bama ends up playing one or the other of those teams, if they were to play, what's your thoughts on that game? Who you think ends up winning the game? Whether it be Alabama over TCU or Alabama over Baylor, or either one of them beating Bama, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think let's talk about Baylor first. I think when you get a team like Baylor that has been so explosive, I think if you could disrupt that play a little bit, you might put them on tilt a little bit, you know. And I looked at the one game. Geez, I can't remember which one it is now. Their longest scoring drive of the game was 2.5 minutes. Longest of the game. And that's when they had the backup quarterback. So they score so quickly.
Right.
Now, listen, you know, I might be wrong. Who knows? I don't think any team in the country is going to score like that on Alabama. I just don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. And then you have to wonder, when somebody looks them in the eye and punches them right back, how's this team going to react? You know, last year they had Michigan State on the ropes. I forget what bowl game they were in, but they had a pretty big lead on Michigan State. Michigan State come back and beat them. I think Michigan State last year particularly was a very good team, very defensive oriented, and kind of tough. And I think you could say all those things about Bama this year and probably add a little bit to it. And I think if they play Baylor, I think that it might be easy to frustrate a team like Baylor, who's been used to having it their way the whole year.
Great.
TCU might be a little bit different. I do think that their defense, their offense, is probably not quite as good as Baylor, but I think just mentally they're probably a little tougher. They've had to come off the mat a couple times this year. The defense has had a lot of injuries. You know, they pulled out that miracle win against Texas Tech, where they probably should have lost. You know, against Kansas State, they had to fight real hard to win. So I think you're seeing probably a little bit more mental toughness in a team like TCU. I say that Baylor hasn't been tested. It's just a hunch that I think that I think TCU would give Bama a much better game than would Baylor. But, you know, Baylor just likes to blow out teams, and I guess we'll see if it'll work when we get down to playing some real tough opponents. But I for one have my doubts.
I got you. Hey, I got one more I want to throw at you, Chris. This is a curveball from out in left field. I watched Utah play last weekend, and you know, I was somewhat impressed with them. They've got really good athletes. I know they're sitting there ranked number 3 this week, and they play USC. Is Utah really? Are they really for real? Or will they bite the dust this weekend against Southern Cal?
It's funny. I talked to a lot of my friends, and a lot of the wise guys in Las Vegas like Southern Cal this week. I'm not one of them. I'm not sure how good Utah is. I don't think they're the third best team in the country. I think they're about the 10th best, something like that. I think they'll beat Southern Cal myself this week, and part of it is I haven't been all that high on Southern Cal. I do agree with you about the athletes that Utah has. It took a little while when they got into the Pac-12 to recruit up to get that type of athlete. but they've done it. And they got a lot of big, strong kids. They got a nice veteran quarterback. They got a coach who I think does a pretty good job. But I think Utah is a... I'm not sure why they're the underdog this week. I thought Southern Cal might be about a one-point favorite, something like that. But I'm seeing them 3.5, 4-point favorite. That looks crazy to me. I don't know. I'm pretty impressed with Utah myself. But I think they go into Southern Cal and walk out of there with a win myself this week.
Okay. Hey, I've got one more, and I'm going to let Jason ask. Talking about Southern Cal, what are you hearing out that way about who may be the, you know, head coach after the Steve Sarkisian debacle?
Well, one of the names, interestingly enough, is Kyle Whittingham from Utah. So I think that's a big thing this week. People are going to be looking at that. You know, I've heard them mention Sumlin. I think Sumlin would be nuts to go to Southern Cal myself. You know, I think he's got a great program at Texas A&M. And, you know, you go to Southern California, you're lost among a lot of other crap that goes on in there. Whereas if you're at Texas A&M, you're the head football coach. I mean, if you have a long career there and successful career, they're going to build statues of you out there. And, you know, I think that he'd be nuts to leave. So I've heard his name. I heard the guy from Houston. What's his name? Tom Herman. Who was, he was Urban Meyer's assistant, doing a great job at Houston. You know, that's the name I've heard a little bit. I've heard him mention Jim Mora, you know, right across the way there in L.A. He's lost a lot of recruiting battles to USC, and he likes the area. He's got kids in high school or wherever he's got them. He might want to stay there if he was given a very good offer for Southern Cal. So those are names I'm hearing, but right now I probably don't know much more than anybody else, really just a bunch of rumors.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Hey, Chris, Auburn this weekend traveling to Fayetteville, Arkansas to play the Razorbacks. As we've already said, Auburn 5.5, 6-point underdog. Who do you like in this game?
Well, like I said, when I first did my numbers and just looked at the power ratings, I thought I might like Arkansas. I had them like at about a 7-point favorite, like I said, just based off my power ratings. So I went in and started doing a little bit of research and started looking at some numbers. And like I said, what really impressed me about Auburn, and, you know, they've gotten a lot of heat. They're sitting at 4-2. That was the first thing I didn't realize. They're 4-2. That's not bad. And the more I looked, like I said, I thought they played well last week against Kentucky, even though they were outgained by, what, Jason, you probably know better than I do, about 100 yards or so.
Yeah, I think it was 90-something, right at 100.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was actually like a good thing about Auburn, that could win a game like that with a young quarterback, maybe not playing their absolute best football. But I was pretty impressed with that. You know, Arkansas, I don't know. Texas Tech went in there and really, I think, kind of taught them a lesson. I think it was a big game for the Tech program, you know, a little bad blood between the two coaches. And I think that was a big loss. And I think there's just too many close games that Bielema is losing. I mean, I know he's won a couple, but he's lost a lot more than he's won. And I think Auburn, again, coaching, having a big, you know, just a big advantage in this game. And I think Auburn will figure out a way to keep it close. I think if they figure out a way to keep it close, I think they got a real good chance of figuring out how to win the game. So for me, like I said, I started out looking at the bad Arkansas. By the time I was doing my work, it was either Auburn or pass for me.
That's fair enough, because I've done the same thing. Being a blue and orange man myself, I'm still passing on it. But Alabama hosts Tennessee Saturday. The Tide is a strong 15.5, 16-point favorite. Can Alabama cover this spread, or are we looking at a case that you think Alabama's going to be let down after the big win last week?
I think they might let down a little bit after last week. I think... You know, if you look at Nick Saban, you know, we're past the point of you getting rich betting on him. That's not probably not going to work now. Probably would have worked at Kent State and Michigan State and even at LSU, but now he's just too established. But I still think this point spread's a little bit too high. Like I said, you're not going to get rich betting on Saban, but you sure aren't going to get rich betting against them either. But I think if you pick your spots, I think you can find some, I don't want to say weak spots, but maybe some spots where he's not really going to put the pedal to the metal and really make an all-out effort to get the most out of his team and cover a number. It was a big win last week. I think they had a lot of focus on that game. Like I said, it's become a little bit of a rivalry between A&M and Alabama. Tennessee and Alabama certainly has been a rivalry for a long, long time, and I understand there's probably a lot of bad blood between some of the fans, probably a lot of the fans. But I still think it's kind of a high point spread. I think that I didn't bet this game either, but gun to my head, I'd probably bet on Tennessee. I think it's probably a little bit too high.
Hey, Chris, before Ronnie throws the next question at you, I want to give you something. Write this down. You're going to want to look this up if you've never seen it.
Okay, I got it.
It's a little clip on YouTube called I Hate Tennessee, and it's by an Alabama student, and it is one of the funniest things you will ever watch.
Okay, I got that written down as soon as I get off with you.
Yeah, text me and let me know what you think about that. I watch that every year.
Hey, talking about, you know, college games, if you, Chris, what other games, you know, might be on your radar for this weekend?
Well, I got one tonight that I really like. Appalachian State against Georgia Southern. You know, it's two small schools, but I'll tell you, I love the way both these teams play football. They both have just recently come up, the FBS. But I don't know if you guys have watched them, but they played some exciting brand of football, and I'm really looking forward to this game tonight. I'm on Appalachian State. I laid 6.5. I think this is a team. I had my eye on them this year. I think they had like 19 starters or maybe 20 starters coming back from last season, which was a pretty decent team once they kind of got rolling. Georgia Southern was another team that was really good last year. They lost a lot of players, but they kind of cranked it up pretty quick this year. So, good program there. I'm really looking forward to that. I got to tell you, I hate these Thursday night NFL games. They're off, and I'm glad we've got a couple of good college games. Actually, three of them. Other than that, I know out of I got A&M this week. I'm taking the +6 against Mississippi. I think Mississippi just has a lot of injuries, and I think right now they're probably they're at a little bit of a turning point in their season. I think they probably felt they were going to challenge for an SEC championship, which automatically challenges them for a national championship, but things have gone south on them a little bit. I think A&M, like I said, I thought they played very well last week. Even despite the two picks, the first two pick sixes, they had a chance to cover against Alabama. Then, of course, he throws the third. But I thought they showed a lot of guts in that game, a lot of intestinal fortitude just to stay in there with Alabama, which is never easy, no matter what, home or away. And I think that they come into the Mississippi, and this has gone up to 6 points, and I really don't know why. But I like A&M +6. I think they hang in there with Ole Miss.
Good deal. You mentioned the NFL, so I've got to bring up the fact that my Panthers are still undefeated. Mr. Cam Newton at quarterback there. They played the Seahawks last week. Not only did they cover, they won the game outright. This week, the Philadelphia Eagles in Carolina. Carolina, a 3-point favorite. Who do you like in this one, Chris?
Well, we mentioned ugly football. Did you watch the Monday night game? That was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life.
I managed to skip that one, so.
I didn't see
good.
It.
Good move. Good move. well, I'll tell you, Philly won, and they won easily, but I, for one, was not all that impressed. And that's funny. I mean, Carolina's undefeated. I know they haven't played a great schedule, but I had them last week against Seattle. I didn't bet them on the money line. I wish I would have. But I didn't. But I felt pretty good with getting +7. I thought they played really well. Their defense playing good. I'm hearing stories about Cam Newton maybe being MVP this year. I think he's playing really well. Doesn't have a whole lot of help around them on offense. But they know how to win football games. A lot of that, I think, goes to Newton. And I think, you know, you're asking them to cover, well, I see 3 with a little extra juice on the favorite. I think that's probably what I would do. I wouldn't want to lay 3.5. I think I like, you know, I definitely like Carolina in this game. I'll probably have them on my card come Sunday night, especially laying the 3. I just think that's a little bit of a cheap number. Philly, I know, has won the last couple of games,
And I'm not ready to say they've turned it around. I just have not been that impressed. I think just things have kind of fallen into place for them. They've been lucky to get these last couple wins.
Good deal.
Hey, Chris, any other NFL games that might be on your radar this weekend?
Yeah, I got a few I'm looking at. Well, you know, I really liked Atlanta, but it jumped up today because Mariota missed practice. It was 3.5, went up to 5 without Mariota. So that I really wanted Mariota to play just to keep the number down. You know, so I did like Atlanta. I'm not sure I'm going to lay 5 on that one. I like Miami laying 4. I think that was a team that really did a lot of things right in the offseason, at least as far as hiring personnel. They didn't have the right coach to pull the trigger on it. But I think now they've got some of those problems corrected. I still think Houston probably not that good of a team right now. You've got to lay 4, and sometimes that could be a mountain to climb in the NFL. But I think right now Miami got a little bounce in their step coming home. I think right now they think that they're still in it. I don't know about winning the division, but they're still in it to get to a wild card. But they know they got to start winning and keep winning. And I think that I like Miami in that spot. And I'll mention one more. I like the Jets. I think the Jets will play a big game against New England. Talk a little bit about letdowns. Last week, I say what they want, and I know Belichick keeps them on an even keel and all that. But they went into Indianapolis, and I know that Colts game was a big, big game for them. Now they're laying 9 to the Jets. I think the Jets keep it close. New England probably win the game, but I think the Jets get the money on the point spread plus a 9.
Hey, quickly, you're talking about the Patriots and the Colts. What was up with the supposedly trick play that Chuck Pagano drew up there? Or it looked like they just drew it up on the sideline, but you know, I think he made the mistake there. He said they've been working on it for like a year. And I mean, it was
like
awful. Yeah, I mean, that was terrible.
I was going to say, me and my cousins, I think we had a play like that, and
yeah,
we ran down in the cinder lot, and that never worked either, by the way. So,
hey, does
I don't know where he got that idea.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Exactly. You know, what does that do? What's his job security like? What do you think? I know we're kind of going off the cuff there, but I really like the guy. I think he's one quality guy, and I think he's a good football coach, but is he the long-term answer for the Colts?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think the players do like him, and I know there's been a lot of heat between he and Ryan Grigson. I think Ryan Grigson, the general manager, he's the guy that's got to go. He's made so many bad moves drafting. I mean, he fell into Andrew Luck. I mean, how could you not draft Andrew Luck? You know, so I don't want to give him any credit for that. But other than that, I mean, he's had Luck now. What's this, Luck's fourth year?
Yeah.
They really have not built much around them. I mean, they got some nice receivers. And I, you know, getting Frank Gore, that winds up looking like a pretty decent move. He looks like he's got a little bit of football left in him.
Right.
But other than that, you know, they haven't done much from the offensive line. Their defensive line is still way too easy to run on. So I don't know. I think Grigson, I would get rid of Grigson myself. As far as Pagano goes, you know, I really don't know one way or the other. I'm probably not qualified. I'd just be making a guess.
Sure.
But to me, Grigson, for sure, he's got to go.
Okay.
All right, Chris, that's going to wrap us up. I know you got a million things to do, and, man, we appreciate you joining us once again. And as we say every week, you better find your way here, and we'll treat you to a barbecue or something. So. Before you go, though, tell folks where to find you at right now before you do make it here.
Well, before I hit up Ronnie and Jason for ribs, you can find me on Twitter, at Andrew Sports, 2 S's in the middle, or go to my website, againstthenumber.com, 2 T's in the middle there, againstthenumber.com. And, fellas, I can't wait. I'm trying to figure out a way to get out there. Sometime after football season.
Yeah, if you just get close and
that's
we'll
right.
find you.
That's right. We'll meet you.
All right, Chris. Have yourself a great weekend and a profitable weekend.
All right, you guys too. Like I said, love talking to you guys. One of my favorite half hours of the week.
Absolutely. Right, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Good guy, boy.
Yes, sir. Chris Andrews. We got about 10 minutes, and Dr. Dan Vosta will be joining us, and I'm sure he'll have a lot
get
to say.
Get your pen and paper out for Dan.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive, and you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Get your motor running.
That's right.
Head out on the highway. All right, Ronnie. We got about 7-8 minutes. Someone wants to call, talk about football, talk about whatever is on your mind. 737-9505. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Dan Vosta will be joining us, and he'll be talking football. So.
Just
you got
wait.
That puzzled look on your face.
I was looking at something here on the top five. I thought it was the top five power rankings, but it's the recruiting class. Power five teams getting the most 2015 recruiting class. TCU, Clemson, LSU, and then what struck me was the Texas Longhorns. So I was like, I thought it was the power ranking. I said, that's impossible.
What do you think about the Longhorns this weekend, Kansas State? I think Texas, a 4 or 5 point favorite, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I think Texas wins the game, but I would take the points.
Yeah, Kansas State, boy, just destroyed. Was it last week?
No, they got destroyed.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I destroyed. Thought you were going to say
no. They didn't destroy anybody. They got destroyed.
Yeah, did you see where Bill Snyder wrote a letter then to the student body, basically apologizing for the play of the football team? That's kind of like, that reminds you kind of like Steve Spurrier, you know, the press conference he had where I'm the coach of this embarrassing football team and our embarrassing performance and how he went off on his team that year. So
he's no longer the coach of the embarrassing
team. No, he ended up at game day up in Michigan last week.
He would have got the win against Vandy.
He sure would have. At one time, I didn't know whether that was going to happen or not.
No, I didn't either.
I think that ended up about 19-10, something somewhere in that neighborhood. So
well, they covered. That's what's important.
That's what's important. That's what's important. That's exactly for entertainment purposes only.
That's it.
You know. So, but you know, that's just that's the way it goes. You know, you just if you play that hand, as long as they cover, you don't care who wins, just as long as they cover
that's
the points.
Right. The best way to play, if you are in, let's say you're an Alabama fan, is take Auburn in a game.
Yeah.
And that way, if Auburn wins, you're still going to be happy. If they get beat, you don't mind giving up the money. Auburn got beat. That's the way I am with Alabama.
Right.
I'll take Alabama, and then if they win, I'll take the money. And if
it's all about
they
the
lose, then, you know, that's fine, yeah, too. So.
It's just all about the money.
Oh, yeah. That's what it all boils down to.
You going to watch the NFL game tonight? Speaking of NFL that nobody likes to watch.
I won't be watching that one.
So. Well, or what? If someone wants to watch it, the Seattle at San Francisco on CBS at 7:25 or on the NFL channel at 7:30. I don't know why there's a difference there, but I don't really get into the Thursday night football games. I don't think the players like the Thursday night football games. I know I saw something today from Richard Sherman, who is not in favor, does not like Thursday night football at all, and he's going to be playing tonight. But I don't know. It's just not very popular.
No.
I don't watch it.
I don't know why they felt they needed a game. College already had the Thursday night game, so the NFL moves in. And you know, college now has a Tuesday night game, a Thursday night game, Friday night game, Saturday.
I know.
And before the year's over, they will add a Wednesday game. They've done it the last couple of years. So
you can watch it any night of the week.
Oh yeah. And if you happen to catch a night that college football is not on, turn it over to the SEC channel,
right,
and you can watch replay after replay of some game.
So I don't know.
Well, all right, it's right on break time again. We'll take another short break. When we come back, it is time for the man with the plan.
Mr. Dan Vosta.
That's it.
Campus Insider.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Dan Vosta will be joining us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Thursday afternoon.
ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Hillary Clinton addressing security in Benghazi says Ambassador Chris Stevens had 5 security guards with him when the attack occurred in 2012. She says security professionals reviewing the attack say it'd be difficult to repel such an event. Alabama Representative Martha Roby firing back.
My time has expired and we'll certainly never know what the outcome would have been if there had been more agents that night. I yield.
Well, that's not what the professionals, that's not what the experts in security have concluded. If you read the accountability review board.
I have read it, Secretary Clinton, and it says that security was grossly inadequate.
The ambassador and 3 other Americans were killed that night. Police identify a man gunned down at a Montgomery nightclub. 41-year-old Tracy Edwards was a volunteer coach for the Prattville High School freshman football team. He was killed in the early morning hours at Club Big Boys. Firefighters continue to battle the blaze in the Sipsey Wilderness. It's burned over 1,100 acres. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A major heroin and cocaine bust in Jefferson County and a drug trafficking investigation that took 3 years. 16 arrested, several others expected to be taken into custody. An indictment calling for the return of $10 million in drug money, plus property that includes a Mercedes-Benz and house. Investigators seizing 12 kilos of coke and 4 ounces of heroin in this bust. A man has died trying to save his wife from a house fire. Jackson County authorities say 65-year-old James Franklin Hayes got out of the burning house in the Rosalie community but went back in to try to find his wife, not knowing she'd already made it out safely. New developments in the case of a school employee whose prank resulted in a criminal charge. Receptionist at Hayden Elementary School, Carmen Williams, pleads guilty to a misdemeanor charge of rendering a false alarm. Investigators say she called the principal, falsely claiming a gunman was at the school. Williams has apologized, saying her actions were inexcusable. She'll serve probation and pay a $500 fine. Williams claimed the whole thing was meant to be a joke. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. In sports, Alabama coach Nick Saban reacting to the death of Alfie Tenpenny. Saban says he visited with the former Crimson Tide running back's mother, expressing condolences on behalf of the team and the university.
And our thoughts and prayers are certainly with Alfie and his family.
Some Tide players tweeting salutes, remembering his big smile, even though he had trouble off the field. Cam Robinson says he was an inspiration.
He may have had the biggest smile out of anybody that I know. I mean, his smile, you know, light up a room. He always seemed to be in a good mood. You know, always seemed to be happy. So, I mean, it was, like I said, it was just a tough loss.
A 20-year-old killed in a car crash in Mississippi. Auburn fans traveling to Arkansas this weekend. They'll take on the Razorbacks. 11 a.m. kickoff. AT&T Fan Zone opens at 8. Pep Rally at 9. For those not making the trip, you can catch the game on the SEC Network. And over a dozen games on tap tonight in high school football action around Alabama. To name a few, Fairhope takes on Murphy. It's Homewood at Jackson Olin, Moody at Lincoln, and Fultondale takes on Midfield. Angie Norfell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95. Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
Oh, life in the fast lane.
Uh-huh.
Surely make you lose your mind. All right. Speaking of losing your mind, that's this right. Guy will have so many facts that you may lose your mind if you try to keep up with them and don't have a pen and paper, but each week at this time, we welcome back Dan Vosta to the show. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, we're great. How about you?
I'm doing well. Pretty decent weather here in Chicago. So give it a few more weeks. I'm sure people will be complaining, but we'll take 60s and 70s in, towards the end of October here.
Oh, that sounds really nice. We have a beautiful day down here in the heart of Dixie, too.
All right,
Dan,
let's get it started. We're all happy here in the state of Alabama as both teams got wins last week. First, let's take a look at my Auburn Tigers. Sean White seemed to be more at home behind center in the win. Give us your thoughts on the game, and do you think the quarterback situation at Auburn has finally been put to bed?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly you saw a big game from Ricardo Lewis in the passing game, but mainly Sean White did not turn it over against Kentucky. In terms of the overall offensive side of the ball, I thought things went about as well as you could have hoped for going into this game with everything that has happened so far. So if Sean White continues to avoid turning the ball over, yeah, it's going to be tough for Jeremy Johnson to see the field, but certainly he's gaining confidence every game, and you hope moving forward that he can come up with a few big wins in the next couple of weeks, because certainly they'll be tested, and he may have to come through, Sean White, that is, because the defensive side of the ball still has ways to go, and it looks like Carl Lawson's going to miss another game. So Sean White might not have to play hero, but he's going to have to continue to improve and get better. I give him a solid B for what he did this past against Kentucky. He keeps playing his B-plus game or so. I think Auburn's going to maybe pull off an upset or two, but he's going to have to continue to get better and hope he gets a stop or two more per game from that defense if they continue to want to get a victory and potentially get bowl eligible, which is still not a guarantee with, as we know, some tough games coming up this week.
Right. That win against Kentucky, Auburn's first conference win. They face Arkansas this week. Does Auburn get their second conference win, or do you think Arkansas gets the W this week?
Yeah, I've been going back and forth in this game. It's amazing the experts in the desert feel that Arkansas at home is nearly a touchdown favorite. I think it'll be a little bit close than that, but I was thinking Auburn in the week, and I think I'm going to keep going away from Auburn just for your sake, because now we're looking at last week, I thought Kentucky was going to get the W, but I think Arkansas is going to grind its way to a narrow victory. You look at Auburn up front without Carl Lawson, just the past few years, they've been pretty atrocious at stopping the run. They rank 100th in the country against the run. Arkansas is known for the running, getting back at the last few weeks, coming off a bye, played pretty well on the road against Alabama in a 13-point loss 2 weeks ago. So I think you're looking for Alex Collins and that Arkansas ground game to get it moving forward and improving there. But I think Sean White's going to keep them in the ball game. It's just a matter for me, can the defense come away with a few turnovers? Because I'm not sure they have the Jimmies and the Joes to get the job done, but I think it will be a close, tough loss. I think they'll be in the ballgame, and perhaps Sean White makes one more play than Arkansas does. But I'm leaning with Arkansas at home with a narrow victory, like a 23-20 type of game. But we'd be surprised by any means if Auburn comes through here. But they need this game, Auburn does, as does Arkansas. Really, the loser of this game, you could realistically say their chances of playing the postseason are slim to none. And the winner, perhaps, can get to that sixth win, but there's no guarantee for either of these teams. So it is a big game, especially when you look back in August. Many people thought when these teams potentially both would win 9, 10, or even more games. Certainly many people at Auburn, as we know, playing in the CFP this year.
Hey, Dan, this is Ronnie. Let me ask you about Alabama. Of course, we all know that they had a dominating performance against Texas A&M, beat them, you know, 41-23. Texas A&M, I think, as far as rushing, they had less than, I think, 40 yards rushing for the game. After the first quarter, was there any question in your mind who was going to win this football game?
No, it was just a matter of how much they were going to win by. And, you know, barring a couple more pick sixes, which of course occurred, I thought this game, he still would have came back and A&M would have made it a game, but really never had a chance with more turnovers. They got the best of Kyle Allen, but the Alabama secondary has been one of the more improved defensive sides units, if you will, positionals in the country, not just the SEC. They had been embarrassed in years past, of course. Trevor Knight, Oklahoma, in the Sugar Bowl not too long ago, just lit up the Alabama secondary. And last year, there was many occasions where Alabama had issues. Look at that game against Ohio State in their semifinal loss in CFP. But they've made big-time strides, and that's why I feel like they're one of the most improved teams in the country when you look at the last month. Really, since that Georgia game, they've really been arguably the best team in the country on paper, and they've proved it on the field. So that loss to Ole Miss still kind of knocks them down a notch, but certainly that was a huge win against an A&M team, in my opinion. I think only loses maybe one more game from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, and I was kind of a little bit leery about, you know, Alabama being able to defeat Texas A&M. I know I picked Alabama, but deep down I was thinking, you know, mm-hmm. they may get it handed to them right here, as well as a lot of people thought that. But again, just an absolutely dominating performance throughout the game, but especially early. You know, Texas A&M couldn't. I mean, Derrick Henry had 150 yards or 153 yards the first quarter. Just a dominating performance.
It is amazing. People forget, you know, you get so many 4 and 5 stars, but this might be Nick Saban's best defense he's ever had. And that's saying some volumes because he's won a few national championships and he's won some big games. But I think this defensive line, I think everybody that starts and everybody that plays will be playing on Sunday, so they get drafted or get signed on the practice squad and work their way up. Every guy is a stud. And you could argue every player on this defense, the front seven, would probably start on any team in the country. So when you got the best defense in the country and you're darn so physical, and now you're not getting torched through the air, a Texas A&M team, by the way, that has 3 or 4 receivers that will be playing in the NFL, it speaks volumes. And if they can continue to get better in the secondary, which they've proven so far, there's really nobody on the planet that will beat them if they continue to play their A game.
Let me make this announcement. I just got a text, and apparently some of our listeners are playing a drinking game, and they have to take a drink every time we say dominate or dominating. So,
oh, is that
have,
right?
Some drunk listeners by now.
We got to stop talking Alabama, and then they'll probably sober up.
That's right. Hey, that's really the only word you can use right now, Dan. You know,
what
as far as Alabama
word?
Dominating. Are dominant.
Yep.
Hey, speaking about Alabama's defense and them being dominant, what about the 3 pick sixes? Do you recall another game where that has taken place?
I can't say I have not seen something like that, at least recently. I can ask my father, and he's been watching a little bit longer than I have, but I haven't seen that type of performance in teams of 3 defensive touchdowns, just 3 non-offensive touchdowns in general is hard to come by. But no, I've not seen quite like that. A&M is the type of team that works perfectly for that to occur, because they're going to throw anywhere from 50 to 70 times to a game sometimes, and they were trailing the entire ball game. So after that first quarter, things slowly started to get out of hand. It only led to more, and it just snowballed from there. When you got a coaching staff like Nick Saban, they're accustomed to coming out with big-time victories on the road. And A&M looked a little bit, you know, not used to the big spotlight this year so far, and so obviously their biggest test, and they let down a little bit, but Alabama, credit goes to them.
All right, Dan, we are at the halfway mark of the season. You've had a time to get a feel for Alabama. So in Dan's poll, where do you place Alabama? Where are they ranked in Dan's world?
Yeah, they stay the same for me. Every Saturday night, I'll tweet out my top 25. I've had Alabama number 5 since their victory over Georgia, so pretty much a month now. They're clearly the best one-loss team, and obviously I would probably take them over any team on paper, but I rank my teams based on what they've done the entire season. I'm not a prisoner of the moment, so as much as I love Alabama on paper, they still have a loss to Ole Miss at home, and it seems to be a bigger, tougher, and a bad loss as the weeks progress, but they're going to keep moving up eventually, because these teams ahead of them, who I have at the moment, are Ohio State, LSU, TCU, Baylor. Obviously, TCU is going to play each other. I think LSU, obviously, is going to have a tough time on the road against Alabama. And you look at Ohio State, I feel they're going to lose eventually. So there's a chance Alabama, if they win out, they'll probably be the number one seed in the second annual CFP. So they just keep taking care of business, and they'll be fine. But I got number 5 at the moment.
Okay, let's play make-believe for a minute. And this probably won't happen, but Ronnie and I talked about it Tuesday. Let's just say for a minute that Ole Miss and Alabama both win out. By doing so, Ole Miss will be the West champion and the SEC champion. When it comes time for the 4 teams to be selected for the playoff, what does this mean, do you think, Dan? Does both teams get left out? Alabama make it over Ole Miss, or does Ole Miss go? What exactly happens?
I'll do you one better. Both will get in. I'll guarantee you, if Ole Miss wins out, I think there'll be a lock to get in. Maybe they won't be the number one seed with 2 losses, but there's a chance Memphis doesn't lose and they'll be a top 10 team by January. But I think if Ole Miss wins out, that includes a win this weekend against A&M, who's probably going to win 9 or 10 games. And then you're talking about a win over an LSU team, which has a case to be the number one team in the country. So if they can beat both those teams and the rest of them, and win the SEC championship over either Florida, potentially Georgia, you go 11-2. That resume, even with 2 losses, I'll take that over anybody in the country. So I think Ole Miss is in, and if Alabama somehow wins out, which they'll be favored to do so, they'll be ranked easily in the top 4, in my opinion, at 11-1. We want the best 4 teams in. We could care less what place they finish in their division. We're our job, the committee's job, get the 4 best teams in. If you're telling me Ole Miss finishes 11-2, it'll be one of the greatest stretch runs in the last couple of years. It'll be better, in my opinion, than Ohio State's, because obviously the Rebels' schedule 5 times tougher than the Buckeyes, arguably. And Alabama, by the way, preseason expectations, number 1 toughest schedule in America. They only have 1 loss. It's not a good loss, but if they can continue to win, both are going to get in, which obviously means potentially 2 Power 5 or guaranteed 2 Power 5 conference champions are left out. Obviously, the Big 12 doesn't have a conference championship game, so if somebody doesn't run the table, they're not going to get in. And there's a chance that the Pac-12, Big 12, both those champions probably going to have at least 1 loss. So that's why I favor the SEC this year of getting 2 teams in if they can continue to dominate. And it looks like, you know, LSU and Alabama and potentially Ole Miss could be that team as well.
Hey, Dan, I want to piggyback on something you said just a moment ago. You said if Alabama runs the table, wins the rest of their games, they could be, depending on what the teams do above them, and some of them play one another, so they're going to lose, that they could end up regular season ranked number 1, which brings me to the point you were just talking about. When the committee selects the 4 teams to be in the playoff, and let's say Ole Miss wins the Southeastern Conference championship game, sure, Alabama sitting there as the number 1 ranked team in the country, there is no way you could leave them out.
Right. It'd be funny because it'd be the major talk about for SEC bias, but you potentially could see Alabama win out. And if Ole Miss does, Alabama would be the number 1 team in the country probably by the CFP, but they wouldn't even be number 1 in their own division. Remember, we've seen this before in years past in the BCS. Alabama, remember, people went Oklahoma State against LSU. It was Alabama, and Alabama put a beatdown on LSU in their backyard, and people argued against Alabama, and yet Alabama was favored in that game. And, of course, they've won with a dominating performance. So Alabama is as flawless as it gets when they can shore up the secondary last year. And they've been really doing that, just case in point, this last week against A&M. And Jay Coker's taking over. This Alabama team's got a lot of things left on the table still to finish, but things are in place for them to have a big-time year because this looks like, I've mentioned, Nick Saban's best defense. I was very concerned about the receivers and Jay Coker compared to years past, and certainly they've answered the bell thus far.
I've heard, Dan, this discussed many times, and let me say you are the only person picking that. So if that turns out to be the case, you are going to look genius.
Yeah, for sure. Give me LSU, not Ole Miss. I think LSU will finish 10-1 with a loss to Alabama, will finish second in division, and will make the CFP. Alabama, I think, wins out, goes 12-1, and they'll probably be number one. So we could see Alabama-LSU 1-4 in terms of a CFP semifinal, and people will be, you know, really moaning over a rematch, which we saw a few years ago, and obviously they're playing just in a month or less now. So I think it's your job. Get to the, you know, get four best teams in the country. If LSU goes 10-1 with a loss on the road to Tuscaloosa at Alabama, that's more than worthy of being top four. We still got to see how the other teams and power champions move on, but there's a chance that they're going to see some power champions like the Pac-12 and Big 12 and even maybe the Big 10, all with one or more losses. So if that's the case, big edge goes to the SEC.
I like Dan's way of thinking.
Right, and I agree with him on LSU, but I still say if Alabama and Ole Miss both went out, neither get in.
Oh.
Write it down.
No, I don't think so. Hey, Dan, let's move out of the SEC as bad as we hate to. The game that probably people down here were talking as much about as Alabama and Texas A&M and Auburn and Kentucky was the end of the Michigan State game. I turned it over there with 10 seconds to play right as Michigan was about to snap the football to punt. Have you ever seen a game end in any such fashion? And what happens, you know, is that a springboard for Michigan State? What happens to them the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think it very well could be a springboard for Michigan State. They're one of the best coach teams in the country. I'd argue they've been the best. Arguably the last 2 or 3 years. They keep winning big games. Look at Connor Cook, the winningest current active FBS quarterback, but he beat, you know, the Cotton Bowl just last year, beat Baylor. The year before, they beat Stanford in the Rose Bowl. So Michigan State's in everything but a pair in the CFP or national championship. So I'm looking for them to improve, but you know what? That was a game where everybody had it chucked up as a loss with 10 seconds ago. I have seen something crazier called the Kick Six. I will still, you know, barring something miraculous, even more than that, I'll go to my grave with that being the greatest play or greatest finish.
I'll go to my grave.
Overall. Yeah, I hate to say it, but in all sports, not just college football, but I can't really imagine something crazier. I wasn't allowed to see the bands on the field, but the Kick Six for me takes the cake at this moment in time. But certainly this was up there. You could argue it's top five for college football at least. Michigan State won in previous years. They won on a Hail Mary to beat number 4 Wisconsin. A ball went off Jared Aberderis' face mask at the goal line, was caught by Nickel at the goal line for a touchdown to win that game. That was one of D'Antonio's biggest wins. Won 11 games, I believe, that year. They've won 11 games a few years now. So we've seen crazy things like this happen. It's just it's always a different formality or a different play. So I'm just waiting to see the next biggest moment. People always say that's so college football, and that's what makes it the best sport in the world for me.
I hear you. Hey, Dan, I'm taking you out of the football stadium now, and I'm taking you to the baseball diamond. All right, the Cubs, can they get it done?
In the future? I think they got a shot. You know, it's going to be difficult to have another great year in the regular season quite like this, but not with 2 wild cards in the National League. Their future's still bright. They got some signings to do in the offseason to improve their corner outfield positions, but certainly so much a young nucleus. I think the Cubs are going to have 90-win seasons for many years to come if they can stay healthy and just catch a little luck, which they did for the most part in the regular season. So if they continue to improve, I like their chances of maybe getting to a World Series. We'll see if they can come through and win one. I'll say they got a better chance than maybe most would anticipate because, as we know, the National League, at least in terms of the World Series, no DHs play when it's at National League Stadium. So I give an edge to the Cubs. I think they can get back to the postseason for many more years. The more you go, the better chance you have. So I think they got a shot.
A good deal. Hey, well, since I'm putting you on the spot, who's going to win the World Series?
Wow. I think if the Blue Jays come through and come back, I'm actually going to favor them over the Red Hot Mets. But that's a little dangerous because, you know, they still got to win two games on the road at Kansas City. So
right.
I would probably lean the Mets slightly just because of how, you know, amazing their pitching staff has been. Noah Syndergaard, known as Four out there, has been one of the more impressive young pitchers in a few years in terms of what he's done. You know, didn't get called up till May or June. So I just favor the Mets, but I'm kind of pulling for the Blue Jays, an underdog story, because most have written them off, and they have such a murderer's row of hitters, of home run hitters. And that atmosphere in Toronto has been kind of amazing. So I'd love to see a World Series game. And, of course, the AL does get home field advantage. So
right.
I'm kind of a toss-up between the Mets and the Blue Jays. I'm not really in love with the Royals. They continue to prove me wrong. But I'm kind of pulling for Toronto a little bit. I'm going to favor them slightly if they get there over the Mets.
All right. Hey, I'm going to take you back to the football stadium now. Give me your, again, this is off the cuff, give me your opinion of Utah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the experts, if you're familiar with what they do every week, they have Utah underdogs this weekend at USC, 3.5 points currently, which speaks volumes. So you look at the Utah Utes, when I grade teams, I always look at overall talent, followed by their schedule. That's why I've been in love with Georgia a few times in the last year or two, but clearly coaching staff and player development is a third thing you got to keep in mind, and Georgia's kind of failed a little bit there. But for the Utah Utes, they're not loaded with NFL talent. They do have potentially the next Matt Forte in Devontae Booker. I think he's the best running back in the country at catching passes out of the backfield. I think he's a top five running back that really is getting almost no talk. Certainly Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette are man children, but along with Derrick Henry. But I think Devontae Booker is carrying this Utah Utes offense. Travis Wilson, 6'7", probably won't have a future on Sunday, but they don't really have many superstar players that may even get drafted. They're pretty darn good in the trenches. They have enough athletes in the secondary because they've been winning every game, obviously, but they've been ahead in games. Outside of last week against Arizona State, they've pretty much been dominating from first to fourth quarter. So I'm really testing them this weekend, though, at USC. As an underdog role, their coaching staff, Kyle Whittingham, which I know Alabama fans are familiar with that Sugar Bowl loss.
Very much.
They need to, you know, prove the naysayers wrong in terms of the experts. I'm kind of favoring USC this weekend slightly, even though I personally am disappointed with USC because they've been so abysmal in the trenches, and that's a big weakness because guess what? That's the number one strength of the Utah Utes, is they just bury opponents in the fourth quarter in the trenches. But Cody Custer, I think, still has a little magic in them to maybe win in a shootout, but we're going to see if Utah's legit, because certainly their talent level doesn't suggest their ranking or really the love that they've gotten so far. And this Pac-12 South has kind of been abysmal. So we're going to see you know, if they can come through as an underdog on the road, because if they lose this game, the chances are they probably won't play in the CFP and potentially not even win the Pac-12.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Hey, last thing, give us, you know, two or three games that may be on your radar that you're going to watch close this weekend.
Yeah, I definitely, USC hosting Utah is obviously the biggest one. I'm leaning towards the Trojans in that one, but Utah wins that game. They're looking like a safe pick to get to the Pac-12 championship with no more than one loss. So that's a huge game, probably the biggest game of the weekend. Followed, I'd say, we A&M, Texas A&M at Ole Miss. This Ole Miss team, I give some discredit to Hugh Freeze. He's got so much talent that he's recruited, but he hasn't been able to do quite enough with it. And this team, I think, is a little weak mentally, which, you know, it's not a cheap shot, but every time they lose a game or two, at least the last seasons, they've always fallen apart. So I'm going to find out, we're going to find out this weekend if the Ole Miss Rebels can, you know, chin up and pony up and win a big game, because A&M, as we know, at least for my sake, one of the better teams in the country, and they need a big-time win. Ole Miss loses this game, they're potentially to go back towards last year where they got embarrassed by TCU. You can see Ole Miss lose a few more games. They haven't played LSU yet, so the chances for them to lose a few more games are there, especially if they lose this weekend. A&M wins this game, they'll have a big-time momentum going towards that last game here against LSU. I'm leaning a little bit towards the Aggies. And then quickly, I think Ohio State at Rutgers, a night game. I've been saying it since August. not knowing the whole situation of Kyle Flynn and Rutgers that they've gone through. They've been up and down, had a big time comeback, went over 3-touchdown victory over Indiana in the fourth quarter, came back and won. Leonte Carew is a receiver that you need to recognize. He's one of the better pro prospects in the Big Ten. I think he's going to give the Buckeyes major fits. I'm not saying the Rutgers Scarlet Knights are going to pull the major upset off, but I, for one, will not be stunned. If they do, I think they'll make this game closer than the 3-touchdown spread that it currently is. I think Ohio State's pretty darn legit. On paper, they're still arguably the most talented team in the country. Now JT Barrett, coming off the year where he broke Drew Brees' total touchdown record in the Big Ten. You're going to see some points, I believe, scored in this game. So it's just a matter of Ohio State taking care of the ball, and they'll come away with a narrow victory. But Rutgers, I think, is going to get them a really good game. They're very balanced and pretty darn physical in the trenches. So it's not going to be like last week where Penn State kind of just got rolled over in that fourth quarter. And then quickly in the ACC, Florida State, Georgia Tech. The Noles have had issues with Georgia Tech in years past. Every game they have won has been narrow. They're only favored by about a touchdown. Georgia Tech, if they can't win this game, they potentially could go from top 25 to 3-9, which would be abysmal for Paul Johnson, of course. In a coastal division, they was picked to win. I think Clemson, Miami, lastly, that could be your game today, 11 a.m. Central. Lots of points. Deshaun Watson's likely going to go bonkers and become a Heisman front runner potentially behind a few running backs in Fournette and Cook.
All right. Dan, you once again amaze us with football knowledge, baseball knowledge.
No, it doesn't matter.
Whatever the ball is. Hey, Dan, have yourself a great weekend. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on as always, and make sure you have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Have a good weekend, bud.
Take care, guys.
All right. Dan the man.
It doesn't matter. No. See, I went way off when I mentioned baseball. I mean, it's just like he was reading a script.
What if the Cubs had pulled that out and Back to the Future had been right? That, a lot of things from that movie has come true.
That's right.
Unfortunately, the Cubs, what was it, 4-0?
Yeah.
They went down 4-0.
Yeah, they bit the dust.
All right. We'll be back. Talk a little fishing with Rich Chambers coming up in about 4 minutes. So stay with us. You want to learn how to put another fish in the boat. Sports Talk Live 95.5, Thursday afternoon.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95kalman.com today. Or visit our website, live95kalman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Kalman's independent radio.
I don't know about that one, Tommy.
Tommy's going to have to help us. It's Sports Talk Live edition of Name That Tune. Rex probably knows it.
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
He heard that music and it scared him away.
Now he's back. I bet Rex can name it. Rex.
How you doing?
Hey, man, can you name that tune?
Nope.
That makes three of us.
We don't know it.
And I'm good at that.
All right, Tommy, we give up. You got to tell us.
It's Little Feet's Dixie Chicken.
I never would have guessed it.
No.
Well, I know it when it gets about midway
through. Just didn't get to the part you knew. Is that it, Rex?
Right.
Oh, man.
I am a, I'm going to forget the name of the game that I play, but Thong Pop. I'm a Thong Pop freak.
Oh, man. What's been going on, Rex? It's been 2 weeks now. What you been up to?
I have been doing a lot of golfing. Been on the lake some. Had a few trips on Wilson. And Wilson's fun right now. They're rolling a lot of water. But it's bass are a little finicky up there, but you can catch some really good ones by switching over to live bait a little for a while.
Wow. Good deal. Hey, not going backwards, but did you say you've been playing golf?
Yeah, I love to hit the ball.
Oh, man. We need to play sometime. I love to play.
I play every day that I'm not forced to go into the JFP that I got 39 days left.
You're counting them. You're marking them off the calendar, aren't you?
Right.
Oh, man. So you said you had some clients that you took up to Wilson. Good fish, big fish.
Oh, lots of numbers, some good fish. It's a numbers day when you go to Wilson right now, especially if you live bait. If you live bait fish, you can catch upwards to 25 to 40 smallmouth, which makes for a fun day.
Absolutely.
It works your guide to death, but it is a good day.
Yeah. Tell us how that works.
We go and we catch our bait. Go throw a net where we know the shad are running at. Put them in a bait tank.
Yeah.
Put drop shot on a spinning rod and a little small number six hook. And put them down minnows.
Oh, man. That's I've done that some, but it wasn't around here. We took a trip several times up to Canada smallmouth, and we would fish live bait, but it would be with leeches.
Oh yeah.
And they love leeches.
They do like leeches up in Michigan. They like the gobie.
Yeah.
Gobie's real popular up there, but down here you catch the small fedfin or small gizzards and put them on a hook and just hang on.
Hang on.
You know, you're going to get a bite. You're never going to lose. You're never going to let one die on you, I promise you that.
Right.
It's gonna get bit by something, whether it be a strike or a drum or a catfish. But the majority of the time, so this past 8 to 10 days, has been smallmouth. And we caught some quality smallmouth through the guides that I go up there with a lot, Brent Crow and Tim Chandler. And we've had some corporate trips we've been working on. And we've had some 5 and 6 pound smallmouth caught on live bait.
Wow. Oh, I tell you, it's hard to get much better than catching those smallmouth.
Oh, it is. I mean, I'm not a live bait guy.
Right.
I don't actually enjoy live bait fishing. But when the conditions dictate it, and it does right now, if I were to take two clients to Wilson and let them throw artificials all day long, you know, they're going to get 6, 8, 10 bites.
Uh-huh.
So a low 6-8-10 bite, you know, they're going to catch 2, 3, 4 fish.
Right.
But if we live bait fish, it is a bite every cast.
And that's what clients want.
And they do. They want to catch fish, no matter what it is. Now, sometimes you get some guys that they're after their personal best smallmouth, and
right.
That's great. But the majority of the time, they just want something on the end of the line pulling.
Absolutely.
And live bait is all about catching whatever's going to bite. And it makes for an interesting day.
Right. Hey, well, what about the lakes around here, Gunnersville, Smith? Is it going on there, or is it kind of, you know?
It is going on. Smith Lake has been producing very well. I haven't been the past week, but everybody I've talked to that's been over there is catching good spots. Largemouth up shallow in the morning, bug baits, spinner baits, back in the backs and pockets, this water temp. Morning water temps, you know, 72, 73 degrees. So it's really been nice. It's at that point of where the largemouth really liking this water temp.
Right. Same with Gunnersville. Things good there?
Same with Gunnersville. The bite's changing a little bit. You know, it's been all frogs all day long here up until this week. But this week found a lot more fish biting swim baits, a lot more fish biting jigs. Had the big bass, the Oakley big bass was last Saturday and Sunday. Jerry Perkins from Coleman, he works with me at the police department. He got second place overall with like an 8.27.
Wow.
Almost won a boat. He got beat out with a 9.25, I think, beat him out.
Oh, man.
So it took a 9-plus to win the boat. So there's a lot. They give away a lot of money. I think they pay out like $1,000 per hour a day just for the big fish each hour.
Right.
Pays down 8 places, so there's lots of people want some money in that. Hey, this weekend coming up, let me tell some people this. And this weekend out of the dam, the regular dam tournament's going to go on, but there's also Cast for Kids is going on this weekend. Professional angler Jay Yellis will be there.
Oh, yeah.
Todd Lee from Jasper will be there. Probably a few more of the guys on tour will probably show up, and they're gonna, it's for Casper Kids, it's for disadvantaged children, disabled children, and they take them out for 2, 3, 4 hours on the water and teach them some of the basics and try to help them catch a few fish, and they have a big lunch afterwards. They do awards for biggest fish, most fish, and It's a good deal for the kids and their caretakers.
Great. Is that every year they do that, Rick?
Well, this is the first
this
year.
This is the first year, okay.
And I'm sure it will be an annual. The city of Jasper is doing it.
Okay.
And Sun's Supermarket and Sun's Smokehouse is sponsoring it from Jasper.
Okay.
And they're going to provide lunch for all the anglers and the kids and their caretakers and family, and there'll be a good crowd at Smith Lake Dam from, I think, the actual event starts at 7 a.m. and ends at 10 or 11.
Okay. So, that's great. How a
volunteer can show up down there in the morning about 6 a.m. and you can volunteer to use your boat to take a disabled kid out. It would be great.
Right. Great. Rex, do you have any phone numbers or emails where people could, you know, if they had a child that wanted to participate or if they wanted to volunteer, do you have a way or know how they could contact someone?
Actually, not right offhand.
Okay.
You can call the city of Jasper.
Okay.
Anybody at City Hall knows. There's one of the council ladies on the council at Jasper. I know her. She sent me all the info. It was in Tuesday's paper.
Okay.
And like I said, you can just call their Chamber of Commerce or Jasper City Hall. Somebody will know how to put you in contact.
Well, what a great cause. I hope they have a huge turnout, and, you know, that be something that be an annual event from now on.
Oh, yeah. They do like 50 events a year.
Uh-huh.
And started out with one, and they added two more, and they've been adding cities, you know, two or four a year for the last several years. So I think they're up to 50 this year. So
that's great.
It is a good deal. Kids that's not able to get out and fish every day like some of us are privileged.
Exactly. And you said the key word, that we're privileged to do, and we take it for granted.
Yep, and we take that for granted a whole lot.
Absolutely. Hey, Rex, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, you know, or maybe a little bit longer than that. You know, fishing has been tough because of these bluebird skies. What are they really talking about?
Yeah, you give me bluebird sky any day, I love it. But sometimes it does change the fish's attitude. A lot of people like it when it's cloudy and windy all day long.
Yeah.
You know, the big thing is the wind is your friend. Well, I hate the wind. I cuss the wind with every breath. Oh, it's just aggravating. But bluebird skies sometimes does turn the bite down just a little bit. They want to escape that sunshine and then get under the grass or find them a stump to hide in the shade. And it slows it down a little bit. But you know, Smith Lake's about the opposite. The more sun, the better on Smith Lake. They love the spotted bass. They love the sunshine. Largemouth, they'll try to hide out of it.
Right. So someone could, you know, can they topwater fish most of the day this time of year?
On Smith Lake, that sun's shining, I'm going topwater.
Okay. Is that year-round?
That's a secret, though.
Oh, I got you. Is that a year-round thing, Rick, or is that seasonal?
It is. It's year-round. There's topwater fish to be found 12 months out of the year. I don't care what lake you're on.
Yeah.
And like I said, especially a spotted bass lake, the more sunshine, the better. Now, if you can get a little ripple on the water, that's even better. But
right.
That 5 mile an hour wind's great, but that 10 to 15, I could care less about.
I hear you. Hey, Rex, are there, other than, you know, what you were talking about a little bit earlier about, you know, going out of the dam with a disabled kid, are there any other tournaments taking place this weekend, you know, at Gunnersville or, you know, any of the area lakes? Yeah.
The winter tournaments from the dam have started. They started last 2 weeks. They're still going to have their tournament from the dam this weekend. It'll start at Safe Light, and the weigh-in is at 3 o'clock. Entry fee is $40 per boat. As far as anywhere else, I think there's a tournament going out of the park also.
Okay.
It's smaller Wildcat, and I think the entry fee for it is $40 per boat. It also runs, I think, daylight till either 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
The tournaments from Gunnersville, it's a hodgepodge right now. Nobody's really done anything as far as a every Saturday. I think there's one from the ballpark. They don't have very many boats in it. The wintertime tournaments will start up here soon. Goose Pond, I know that. I'm not a fan of restrictive tournaments, so I don't advertise a lot for them.
Right.
The ones that don't want guides and don't want pros, I'm sorry. That's just not fishing. But anyway.
Right.
The park, the one out of Goose Pond will start up within the next week or two for the wintertime. And a small one out of the ballparks on Gunnersville. And that right there is pretty much all I know of. All your wintertime trails will fix and be cranking up. You got Heartland Trail will start up here before long. And I think there's one called the North American Bass Team or something, NBT. They start up here again for their 2016 seasons here before long. But those are trails. You got to pay an entry fee.
Okay. Got one more question for you, Rex. If somebody's wanting to fish, and then I'll let you give, you know, how they can contact you. But if you're on Smith Lake right now and you can only fish one lure, what's it going to be?
Sunshine and bright.
You picked the ideal fishing conditions for Rex.
And it's got a. If I've got, I'm throwing two lures all day long.
All right.
I'm throwing either a Lucky Craft Sammy or a Lucky Craft Gunfish. If I've got a little ripple on the water, yeah. I'm on a bullshad all day. Bullshad, bull herring all day long.
All right.
What the big fish are biting right now.
Got you. Same thing at Gunnersville. You got a couple lures. That's all you can fish.
I'm throwing a frog as my. If I want to catch a lot of fish, I'm throwing a frog. If I want to catch really big fish, I'm backing off the mats just a little bit, sitting up, putting my boat in 8 to 12 feet, and I'm throwing probably a 5-inch or 5.5-inch swim bait around the scattered grass.
There you go. If you want the big ones, get away from the grass.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
Throw the frog for your numbers.
Yeah.
Throw your back off a little bit. Throw your swim bait and your jig for your big bites.
Good deal. Thanks, Rex. Hey, man, before you go, tell folks how they can get in contact with you if they want to take you fishing or you take them fishing.
All my emails and phone numbers are at smithlakebass.com. Find me on Facebook at Rex Chambers Fishing.
There you go. Hey, Rex, you still got that Phoenix, or you sold it yet?
I still haven't actually put it up.
Oh, you still haven't. Okay.
Procrastinating.
But it will be, right?
It will be.
There you go.
We'll play around here soon.
Sounds good. I'm in for that, Rex. Hey, thanks for joining us, Rex.
Have a good one.
Appreciate it, bud. All right, there's our fishing buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers. Hey, he'll help you put some extra fish in a boat. If you don't have a boat and you want somebody to take you fishing, look up Rex Chambers. Find him on Facebook and give him a call. I'm sure you will have a good day of fishing staying with Rex. So it is 5:44. We're gonna go to a quick break. We'll be back for the most important thing today, and that is our pick. So I know everybody. Get your pens, papers. If you're on the interstate, pull over for your safe place so you can write these picks down. So we'll be back in just a minute. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Hi, I'm Tommy Warhurst. Join us this Friday from 2 until 4 as we broadcast live from the Live 95 American Red Cross Coleman Community Blood Drive. We'll be at Carmike Cinemas 10 from 2 until 4 this Friday. Come by and see us for the Live 95 American Red Cross Community Blood Drive this Friday, 2 to 4 at Carmike Cinemas 10 on Live 95.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive. And you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Time is here that everybody is waiting on.
Right? Been on pins and needles on the edge of their seats waiting on our picks.
That's it. And I hope they have had time, as you said, to get over, yes. Get a safe place.
That's right. Don't want to cause any injuries, any wrecks, just over our picks. You know, I mean, it's just not worth that.
That's it. Let's start out in the high school while I'm still gathering up the college games.
All right, high school games. Again, I went through them earlier, but now we're going to do our picks. West Point and Lawrence County.
West Point and Lawrence County. I know nothing about Lawrence County, right. But I'm going to give them the win.
Oh, okay.
23-13.
I'm going with West Point. They're going to win 35-12. Hansville versus Susan Moore.
No, that's going to be a tough one, but I think Hansville's going to win this one in a high-scoring affair.
37-31. All right. Well, I'm going to go with Susan Moore. Susan Moore's going to win 27-14. Good Hope versus North Jackson.
I know nothing about North Jackson, so I'll give them the win. 26.
Well, just to be opposite again, I'm going to go Good Hope's going to win. Maybe that may be an upset. Not sure. I think it's going to be a nail biter. Good Hope wins 24-23. Fairview against Butler.
I know nothing about Butler, so I'm going to give them the win. 30-12.
I'm going to go Fairview, but I'll go the same score, 30-12. Cold Springs at Tarrant. No, wait a minute. Vimont, Winston County. Sorry.
I don't know a whole lot about Winston County, so I'm going to give them the win and a close one.
A close
20
one.
20-16.
I'm going Winston County as well. I think it'll be a little larger margin. I'm going 30-6. Now, Cold Springs and Tarrant.
I don't know anything really about Tarrant, but I'm going to give Cold Springs the win.
All right. Cold Springs.
26-20.
I'm going Cold Springs as well. I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring than that. I'm going to say they're going to win 12-6. Holly Pond at Winville.
Ronnie, as I've said every week for a couple of seasons now, until Holly Pond gets the win, I can't pick them.
That's right.
Give me whoever they're playing.
Winfield.
Winfield.
All right. 38-13. I'm going to make it a little larger than that. I think it'll be 50-12. Then the last game, big game, coming against Muscle Shoals.
Muscle Shoals, always pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them this year, but I'm going to give them the win.
Okay.
I think it's going to be 21-14.
All right. 21-14, and I'd already written mine down. I got Muscle Shoals at 28-14. So those are our high school picks right there. I'm sure they're all going to be very accurate.
Oh, yeah.
One of us will be.
One of us will be pretty close.
That's right. All right.
All right. Going to the SEC, Missouri at Vandy.
Missouri.
Ronnie goes Missouri. I'm also going with Missouri. All right. Tennessee at Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
Play it, Tommy, play it.
Play it now because you won't hear it Saturday. Alabama.
Alabama, and I'm also going to go with Alabama as bad as I hate.
I will say this. I don't think Alabama covers the spread. I think it's going to be less than 10.
Less than 10.
That's it.
All right, you heard that. Put the money on.
Less than 10. That's right.
Texas A&M at Ole Miss.
I'm going Ole Miss. No, I'm going Texas A&M.
All right, and I'm going to agree with you again.
Oh, okay.
Going Texas A&M.
All right.
Kentucky at Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Same here. And this is a game I think Kentucky will cover the spread. I think it's 11 and a half. So.
Okay.
Auburn at Arkansas.
I'm going Auburn.
And I'm going to go Arkansas. I hate to, but
I know you. I think Auburn.
This way, if Auburn wins, I'm happy.
Yeah.
If they lose, I got to pick right.
That's right. For entertainment.
Western Kentucky at LSU.
I have to take LSU. You know, however, I think it will be much closer than probably people.
I think the spread's 16.5.
So. I don't think it'll be that. Western Kentucky's got a pretty good football team.
Yeah, they can put some points.
They sure can. I'll say this: would not shock me if they won a game.
If they beat LSU.
That's right.
Now, that would shock me.
I'll say it won't shock me.
All right.
There you go.
There we go. We both go with Missouri, both Alabama, both with Texas A&M, both with Mississippi State. Ronnie takes Auburn. I take Arkansas. And we both go with the LSU Tigers. So.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to ask you, does Alabama cover the spread, yes or no?
I've stayed away from that game so far, but if I had to go, I would agree with you and say no, they don't cover the spread.
I don't either.
I think it's a down week after they got the win last week.
Absolutely.
Probably going to be going through the motions.
They haven't had a week off. They've got to be beat up, banged up, tired. Yes, it's Tennessee, but it's hard. In the past, it's hard to get motivated because, you know, you beat them, I don't know how many, 10 years in a row or so. It's going to take a win by Tennessee for the luster to come back for this series. And that's going to happen.
Hey, Tommy, as we finish talking, could you look up I Hate Tennessee by the Alabama Student?
All right. We'll see if we ground that up.
If we can play that, we've got about 8 minutes. That'll kill a little bit of time. I'd like to hear that. I hear it every year at the Alabama-Tennessee.
You're going to take us out to I Hate Tennessee.
I can nearly say it word for word, but I won't do it because I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it. Yeah, that's right. You wouldn't do it. I've seen it once or twice. It is pretty funny.
Have you ever saw the one where they had a leprechaun down in South Alabama?
Oh, absolutely.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun.
up in that tree.
Yes, they had the little drawing of the leprechaun.
Oh, yes, that is hilarious.
Jason, you're talking about the interview with the students at Alabama. I got you.
Yeah.
Hey, we're ready when you are.
All right, play it.
Put it on us, Tommy.
All right, man. Just say what you've been saying, man. Why do you hate Tennessee?
Man, I hate Tennessee because first of all, it's Tennessee, and I just hate them because they They low down. They dirty. They some snitches.
And he's in his Alabama t-shirt now.
I hate Full of Foam. Yeah. I hate their colors. I'm not a dog person. I just hate Tennessee, man. Like, and I hate Neyland Stadium. It looks like a garbage truck worker convention. And I hate all their quarterbacks. I hate Tennessee, man.
Describe what you feel about their colors, too. I thought that was interesting.
It reminds me, it's not that orange that you can stand. See, I hate Tennessee more than I hate Auburn. I just dislike Auburn. I hate Tennessee. See, Tennessee's colors is that throw-up orange. It's not that orange that you can sit with. It's that puke inside of a pumpkin orange. And I don't like pumpkins. So, I really don't like Tennessee, man. I can't stress that enough, man. And they losers. They sore losers because they're not Alabama. And I hate Tennessee, man.
That was beautiful, man. Probably the best interview I've done all year. Thank you, man.
I wonder how he really feels about Tennessee.
That puke orange type of pumpkin.
Like the inside of a pumpkin.
And he's probably never stepped foot in Neyland Stadium.
No, absolutely not.
Because it's actually a unique place to go to a ball game right on the riverside.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Well, I would like for Ronnie to take us up there in a boat, go up the river, and then park the boat. I've always seen that and go to a game there.
I've been to Chattanooga by boat from Gunnersville, but I've never been on to Knoxville.
You should do that sometime and take me with
you. I will.
I'll join you about Chattanooga or somewhere.
I'll pick you up
ride the rest of the
I'll pick you up there close to the aquarium right there. That's pretty close.
All right, let's start wrapping it up. We got about 4 minutes, and we may be a couple of minutes short.
That's all right.
But again, ball games tonight. The NFL going on. College games going on. High school tomorrow night.
That's right.
Who we got tonight, right?
Plenty of stuff going on. College game going on tonight. Temple at East Carolina, ESPN2, 6 o'clock. Then Georgia Southern at Appalachian State, ESPNU, 6:30. And then one that I may watch, and you too, is California at UCLA on ESPN, 8 o'clock. NFL game, Seattle at San Francisco, if you want to catch that, 7:30. A little preseason NBA. Golden State at Los Angeles Lakers on TNT at 9 o'clock.
Is there ever a time when the NBA is not playing?
No, they play. No, it's year-round. You got it. So there's some sports out there on TV if you want to catch them.
All right, and of course, it'll pick back up tomorrow night with games again. Then Saturday, all day long, get your fill, your belly full of it. And
that's right.
Then we'll be back Tuesday to talk about what could or couldn't happen.
Hopefully we'll both be happy on Tuesday.
I'll be real happy if Auburn gets a win over Arkansas.
I can understand that.
All right, it's time to say goodbye to all our Mouseketeers again.
That's right, and a big thanks to TOMMY.
Oh, yeah, Tommy, great job. And I'm going to keep the text from Jay that we are going to do a remote from the beach.
Yeah, he's probably working that out right now.
That's right, yeah. There's no reneging on that deal.
All right, folks, we're going to call it a day. So until Tuesday, it is a big War Eagle.
And a big old Roll Tide.
We'll see you Tuesday, folks. Thanks for joining us, Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman.
The ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A man found guilty in the murder of an off-duty Birmingham cop. Officer Kerry Hollis was gunned down last year. Patrick Johnson says he shot Hollis in self-defense after Hollis backed over his motorcycle. Johnson's attorneys say Hollis was drunk and out of control and went for his gun. Jury rejecting that, convicting Johnson.